5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Columbia and its affiliated stations present Elmer Davis and the news.
With another quiet day on European war fronts, most of the news comes from the various attempts to keep America out of complications. In Washington, the debate on the amendments to the neutrality law began with Senator Pittman, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, leading off in favor of the changes proposed by the administration, and Senator Borah opening for the opposition. By repeal of the embargo, said Mr. Borah, the European war will be brought into our very midst. Spies, dynamite, air bombs will have a standing invitation to visit American plants. We will be regarded by the belligerent as an enemy, and he will treat us as such. As for cash and carry, Mr. Borah said that to belligerents, the transfer of title will be only a sham, a pretense. It may protect parties to the transaction in courts of law, but in the realities of war, it will protect no one. Whether this refers only to arms and munitions or to all materials is not clear from the passages we have so far. We have not yet the full text of the speech. Mr. Pittman said that the danger to this nation lies not so much in the type of goods that it exports as in the fact that American vessels under the present law may carry what belligerents call contraband. If an embargo is necessary to keep us out of war, he said, then let us place an embargo on all articles necessary to the manufacture of arms. Senator Barkley, the Democratic leader, expects that the debate will last 2 or 3 weeks. Other predictions are that it will go much longer. Secretary of State Hull today urged American citizens not to travel on belligerent ships in what he described as the danger zone of the North Atlantic, north of 30 degrees north latitude and east of 30 degrees west longitude. Now, under the proposed neutrality legislation, the president may define combat areas within which it shall be unlawful for American ships or citizens to travel. There is no certainty, of course, that what he would declare a combat area would be the same thing that Mr. Hull now describes as the danger zone. But the point is that that danger zone covers the whole west coast of Europe. And if the president should follow that precedent, travel would be prohibited, apparently, even with such neutral states as Italy, Portugal, Ireland, and Norway. And indeed, the seas off the coasts of the last three countries and those leading to Italy are, of course, in a sense, combat areas already. A much more far-reaching attempt, not so much to keep America out of the war as to keep the war away from the Americas, was made by the Inter-American Conference at Panama when it adopted Under Secretary of State Sumner Welles's proposal for a neutral belt 300 miles wide around the Western Hemisphere, including outlying islands, which in some instances would push the safety zone 600 miles out from the continental coasts. Within this limit, all land, sea, undersea, and air forces of the warring nations will be forbidden to engage in belligerent acts, and all merchant ships, even of belligerents, will be immune from attack while en route from one American port to another. Even when they head back to Europe, and of course it will be chiefly British merchant shipping that comes into consideration, they will apparently be safe till they are 300 miles offshore. This attempt to patrol thousands of square miles of ocean is perhaps the most ambitious endeavor ever made by any group of nations to keep war away from their borders. Naturally, it will take an immense number of patrol vessels to do the job effectively, and the United States Navy would happen to furnish most of them. What would happen if a belligerent warship insisted on taking action inside that zone is not yet made clear. The conference was prodded to take this action by the news that a British freighter had been sunk only 70 miles off the coast of Brazil, whether by a submarine or a German surface raider is not yet known. Some of the Latin American countries which had wanted a narrower zone were converted to the Welles plan by that happening. The principal military event of the day, if you can call it that, was the dropping of propaganda leaflets by British airplanes on Berlin and Potsdam. As Mr. Kaltenborn pointed out earlier this evening, it is a good deal easier to drop leaflets than to drop bombs. Possibly also the German air defense will be more alert if it ever has reason to expect anything but leaflets. The last Polish garrison on the Hala Peninsula near Gdynia surrendered this morning, and the Germans are occupying Warsaw. Count Ciano, the Italian foreign minister, is on his way back to Rome, presumably with Hitler's peace plan. Now it is said that Mussolini's expected peace proposal may wait till after Hitler's speech to the Reichstag later this week instead of coming before it. And an international news service dispatch from Helsinki, the capital of Finland, says that the Finnish foreign minister, too, has been invited to Moscow, where his Estonian neighbor went last week and had to give up the most strategic points in his country to the Russians.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.